Amen. 1,000 hallelujahs and 1,000 more. And that would not even begin to cover how many times we can sing of God's greatness. Amen? Did y'all hear the words in that song this morning? Did you sing those words this morning? We sing 1,000. It won't even come close. But here's the thing. If we're not willing to sing those 1,000, guess who will? The rocks will do it, church. The rocks will do it. God is calling already to inform us. Thank you. Thank you. That's naturally one of the deacons, go figure. Man. Whew. You know, we're having deacon ordination tonight. Maybe we ought to eject one of them. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I keep this rock up here to remind us that God will get His glory. God will get His praise. And again, the number 1,000 is just a drop in the bucket. For each one of us, if we were to openly and just with excitement and energy just begin to really praise God, we would go so far past 1,000, amen, of the greatness of God. Because I can tell you right now, I mean, this is a real fine looking rock, isn't it? I mean, it's real decorative. I mean, you could probably use this as a nice paperweight or something. I don't know. Doorstop. But I don't want this doorstop singing my praises. Amen. This morning, we're back in Jonah. Surprise, surprise. Okay. Everybody open your Bibles or get your phone apps, wherever you're using it at. I'm going to sit this right here so we can see it. Jonah chapter 2, we're going to cover the entire chapter, so we may be here till 5. But Jonah 2, we see something really neat happen here, and we see it, and it happens today just like it did with Jonah. You know, when our lives hit a rough spot, when we hit those speed bumps, when we hit those times in our lives where we just don't know what's next. You ever been there? Show of hands. I was hoping y'all would go like this, you know. Okay? When we hit those times, see, I can do that. I can just keep them up the whole sermon, okay? That ought to be interesting, won't it? When we hit those times, isn't it funny? It doesn't matter. We can ignore God for a year, a decade, a month, a week. And we hit those hard times, and all of a sudden, God, you're my best friend. You know what I'm saying? God, we're on the same page here, aren't we? God, let me tell you about what's going on right now. God, this is where I'm at, and here's where Jonah is at. Let's get a recap, right? It's such a cool story. Amen? Isn't the Bible cool? Okay, wait a minute now. Are we at church? Where are we at? Wait. Is the Bible not an awesome book to read? Is it not phenomenal? Is it just, it's so fun to read these and go, my goodness. Woo! All right, there we go. You know, Wednesday night, here I've got to back up Ray like this. Wednesday night, Ray talked with youth. We had a good crew of youth on Wednesday night. Good crew. We filled that room up. Ray spoke Wednesday night, but I was the time filler. That's what Ray called me. You're the time filler, Brother Mark. I said, well, thanks. Okay. So the time filler Wednesday night before we got started with the regular youth things going on that night, I decided I was going to read them a little article I shared with the young adult class this morning. I love saying that. But I shared it with the youth, and here's the funny part of it is I started reading this to the youth on Wednesday night. And we've been meeting with the youth now. We've started it back up. How long have we been going now? Anybody know? I can't even remember now. 12 weeks sounds about 12 years. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's been about 12 weeks, and the youth, you know, it's typical teenagers. You know, you start doing a Bible study, and they're just, they're all over the place and things like that. Well, I start reading this on Wednesday night. I promise I'll get back to Jonah, okay, maybe by 12. But anyway, I start reading this on Wednesday night, and the topic is the top 10 ways to acquire a wife in the Bible, mainly the Old Testament. And those youth, they had their phones up. They were, it's stuff like, hide in bushes, and when the women start dancing, you jump out and kidnap one of them. I mean, that's in the Bible. You know, it's that kind of stuff, okay? Go find you a prisoner of war, shave her head, clip her nails, call her your wife. You know what I'm saying? That kind of, it's crazy stuff in those youth. I'm just thinking, oh, great. So the first time they take notes on a Wednesday night, they're going to go home and say, hey, Mom, go get that woman for me. It says so in the Bible, you know? So, yeah, that's great stuff. See, Daisy's back there. She's probably thinking, I'm going to try that. But yeah, that was youth on Wednesday night. I just had to share that. I couldn't help it. But Jonah. Jonah is such a cool story. And we get to the part of the story here in Jonah 2 where, yes, he prays. Now, just imagine just for a second in our own lives as well. If we would just pray authentically, before we got to these situations, how much better would life be? I mean, can we just think about that for a minute? Now, I'm not saying God's not going to throw us into some pits. That's not what I'm saying. But doggone it, we're going to be a lot better prepared if we would just pray along the way. Okay? Well, here we are. Jonah is now where? In the belly of the fish. Okay. It's probably a kid's song. We should have sung that this morning, you know. But he's in the belly of the fish. And in chapter 2, we see this very poetic sort of writing of what's going on, okay? And he's in the belly of a fish. So I want us to get the imagery, and then we're going to talk about this prayer that Jonah prays, okay? How many of y'all have been in the belly of a fish? Okay, probably none of us, okay? Now, I know there's some crazy folks that like to go out in, like, muddy ponds and lakes and take their bare hands and just shoot it up a hole. You ever seen that? They call it noodling. Shoot it up there and try to stick their arm all the way up a catfish's mouth and pull it out and, dance around with it. Have you never heard of a fishing pole? No, I'm just kidding anyway. But we've never been in the belly of a fish, have we? No. So all we can do is try to imagine this morning what Jonah was doing, sitting in the belly of that fish. So I want us to get in our minds, and I want you to keep in your mind, I don't want to go there. Yes, go there for me. Because, see, it such resembles our dark spots. And I'm not saying your dark spots aren't dark. I'm just saying we've never been in the belly of a fish. Under the sea. Have you ever smelled a fish? Listen, don't make me come down the aisles, folks. Listen. Have you ever smelled a fish? Have you ever cleaned a fish? Yes, we have cleaned a fish. They smell disgusting, don't they? You know, for pranks, what do? You take a fish and you throw it under the car seat in summer? Kelly, I'm coming for Kelly, okay? But anyway, listen. It smells horrible. And we're on the outside with fans going where we can run away from it. Now, he's in the belly. Now, imagine the smell. I want you to get it in your mind. Not only does he have that smell, but he is swimming in it. You say, thanks a lot, preacher. This is just what I want before lunch, okay? But I want you to get a picture here, okay? I want us to fully understand. Yes, I'm down the aisle. I'll back up. So it smells bad. He is covered and sitting in this head to toe. Now, it says it's a big fish. So I'm assuming, my deep theology self, I'm assuming he's probably sitting that somewhat in almost like a fetal position, you know. It's dark. Now imagine that, and I want you to keep that in your mind this morning. Again, you can thank me later, okay? Because then we see in the Bible here, we read Jonah chapter 2, and we see three things that happen that are quite phenomenal from Jonah. The same guy that just ran away from God, amen? He's paying his dues, amen? Let's read together Jonah chapter 2 this morning. And again, this is really Jonah's prayer, okay? It says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he said, in my distress, I would say so, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Now, honestly, guys, I nearly stopped right there for week 5 in Jonah, because that right there is phenomenal. He called out to the Lord, and he answered me. See, here's the crazy thing. You know, we get in our pickles and our dark spots, and we call out to God, and we seem, because we're too stubborn and we don't listen, that he doesn't answer us. And yet here is Jonah in the belly of a fish, and God does what? He answers. See, it's not that God's not answering us, church. It's that we're just not listening. From the depths of the grave, I called for help. And again, you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas. And the currents, they swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. So we learned the fish like to eat some seaweed, amen? To the roots of the mountain I sank down. Jonah's given some imagery here, is he not? Again, I said it was very poetic. He's in the deepest of the deepest of the deepest place he can be. He has hit rock bottom, as we say. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. Verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Now we'll see here in a minute some of these points. Jonah wises up. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. You catch what's going on here, right? This is not just a prayer like we pray in church, where we close and pat our hands together and close our eyes and we murmur some words out. You caught what just happened here? He was having prayerful worship in the belly of the fish. He was praying and talking to God, but he was also singing to God. You realize some folks have trouble coming to church in a nice sanctuary and singing to God? And here's Jonah in the belly of a fish. And what's he doing? I'm singing with thanksgiving to God. And yes, verse 10, yes, I'm going to read it. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto the dry land. Now, those are 10 verses right there. And honestly, I have prayed for weeks as I looked through this series and I prayed through this. I said, it's hard to break it apart because it all fits together so well. But honestly, we may end up going back over some of this. Because individually, it reminds us of God's grace to each one of us. And so, as we look at those verses this morning, there's three things that really jump out to me. And it jumps out, and what's so amazing to me, it jumps out because it applies to each one of us right now. So that's the cool thing about Scripture. We read these stories, okay? Now listen, I'm going to get excited because Scripture is exciting, right? It should be, okay? Listen, we read this and we read this story and we see this, and it's exciting to read these stories and it's exciting to see this. And we know that as God breathed, the Holy Spirit breathed it into being, to the writers, to men that wrote this, and we read and we know it's true. We know it's right there. We know we can see it. We can read it. And then we can see that it applies to us today. See, this is not a story we're just reading, church. This is a story that we can read about Jonah and go, my goodness, it's right where I am at right now. So how in the world can we possibly take the Word of God and just take it just so thinly or shallow or just take it that way? Why don't we take it with the depth that it's intended to be? So this morning we see three things that jump out, and yes, I'm a nerd, so all the words start with D this morning, okay? It'll look like Ray's report card, okay? It's three D's, okay? It's phenomenal, okay? All right? Three D's this morning. The first thing that we see, and we see in the first six verses that's going on here, and again, very poetic, we see Jonah's despair. Man, we see it, don't we? We've never been in despair, have we, church? That's our time or two. Man. Jonah's despair. He is describing to us the worst of the worst here. Again, church, this morning. We have some difficulties sometimes, amen? We have some things that come up. We have some things that come into our lives, and we have some dark spots, and we have some things that may happen, but we see in this despair of Jonah here, we see him describing what's going on. And what is that? Is he says, the waters are closing around me. And I think about that, and I think about his words, and I can't help but think of the day and the times that we live. And so many people can look at their own lives and they say, life is closing in on me. I don't see an out. I don't see an in. My relationships are failing. My finances are failing. My health is just failing around me. And it's all caving in on me. Jonah's describing this to us this morning. The waters are closing in around him. Again, my mind works in different ways. But you know, the big fish he had to eat, right? Y'all there? Y'all there this morning? I'm here. The fish had to eat. It was closing in around Jonah, wasn't it? Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. It's all coming in on him. The waters were closing in. It says in verse 5, it says, the seaweed was wrapped around his head. Now, I wonder if this is a look Jonah kept, though. You ever think about that? It vomited him out. I thought he went, hey, I like this. Look like one of those Duck Dynasty dudes walking around like that. But the seaweed wrapped around his head. In other words, his trouble was clung to him. It was sticking to him. You ever been in a situation in your life where you just could not shake it? Okay, let's put it in literal terms. Have you ever been in the ocean when seaweed was bad? Anybody? No, I have. And you get out and you're just like, where is this stuff coming from? You know, I mean, it's bad. So I can only imagine his despair as it was wrapping, as he says, around his head. I imagine it was wrapped all over him. Again, you still got that smell and that feeling in your mind this morning? His despair was great. And what it really catches my eye is it says he sinks to the bottom of the sea. Jonah didn't have a clue where he was. Do you realize that? He didn't have any idea what was up, what was down, what was right, what was left. He didn't know, did he? He couldn't have known. It was dark. He didn't have a flashlight, folks. He didn't light a match. The fish didn't have heartburn. You get the idea, okay? He had no idea. And so in Jonah's mind, it's he is sunk to the bottom of the sea. He is in great despair. So when we're in great despair, what do we do? God, where are you at? God, are you listening? God, do you hear me? It leads to our next point is this, as we see Jonah's, here's the next word, dedication. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, it really shows Jonah where he was at, where he's been, where he's about to go. Because I'm going to be honest with you, if I'm in the belly of the fish, I'm going to stick with the despair part, right? You hear me? Let's be honest with one another. Where are you going to be? You going to be there with me? God, where are you at? Get me out of this thing. Please. Jonah's dedication. Verse 7. He remembers his vow to God. See, if we sit in this room together this morning and we claim salvation in Jesus Christ, guess what? We've made a vow to God. You know what that vow is today? You know what that vow is? We're going to obey Him. We're going to be, as we learned in John in Sunday school this morning, we are going to be that friend with Him in that relationship with Him. Amen? A friendship is not one way. Better not be. It's not going to be much of a friendship. Amen? It's going to be pretty shallow. It's going to be pretty dead. It's going to be pretty meaningless. So he remembers his vow to God. And then he gets to verse 8 and he says, it recognizes, or Jonah recognizes, his wrong choices. Now I know nobody in this room has ever made a wrong choice. Amen? Whew, there were some moans. Woo. Man, we have. You know what? Just like I said when I started the sermon this morning, we can sing 1,000 hallelujahs, but I guarantee you we probably can speak of 1,000 wrong choices. Amen. At least. Wait a minute. We're ordaining you tonight. Be quiet. Okay, anyway. Wrong choices. But here's the thing is, Jonah recognizes those wrong choices. Now, it's sad that our lives have to be in the belly of the fish. Amen. To recognize those. It's sad that God has to discipline us so harshly to the point that He has to do those things. Boy, it hurts when God disciplines us, doesn't it? Okay, it hurts me, okay? It hurts. That molding process is painful. Whew. But why does He do it? He loves us. That friendship means something to God. So does it mean something to us? Are we willing to voice our mistakes? Are we willing to say, God, that was a bad choice. It was all me. See, I think that's a problem with a lot of Christians today is we're too busy blaming God for our predicament instead of just admitting, doggone it, I'm the one that made that choice. And that's true in all our areas of life. Amen? Man, if we could just learn to eat our words sometimes, eat our actions, be a lot better off. Jonah's doing that from the belly of the fish. He recognized those things, and then he does something remarkable. He renews his vow to God. Now, we can say that's remarkable. We can say he was just wanting to get out of the fish, right? That would probably be the other answer to it. I see it as a remarkable move. I see him coming to the realization that, doggone it, God's a lot bigger than me, amen. I'm not getting out of this one, amen. I better start doing what I should have done from the beginning. And he renews those vows. And he says, God, listen, I'm going to do it now. But then it begs the question. It goes back, and I know time's getting away from me, but it goes back to the very beginning. If we would just obeyed from the beginning, man, imagine what God could have done right from the start. You ever seen that in your own life? Think, man, I wish I could have had those 6 months back. Or for some of us, 6 years, right? 60 years. Do I need to keep going? Renewing those vows to God. Maybe this morning, before I get to that third point this morning, maybe some of us in this room today, maybe we need to renew some of those vows. Maybe we need to look God in the eye and say, you know what, God? I've retired from my faith in you. I've become complacent in my walk with you. I've become apathetic in my relationship with you. God, maybe I don't really care if folks around me can see joy or not. But I know they desperately need to see it. Maybe this morning, some of us in this room need to say, God, I need to dedicate myself back to you. For those commands that you've given me. The third D, I know y'all are anxious for it. Jonah's deliverance. And boy, that was a whammy of a deliverance, amen? Now again, we started out and you're still there. You're in the belly of the fish, you stink. All this stuff's wrapped around you. You're pleading with God. You're making vows back to God. And all of a sudden, the fish starts moving a little more rapidly, right? All of a sudden, maybe you're leaning back and that thing's going up. And then what happens? All of a sudden, you're sitting in a puddle of you-know-what. But now God says, on dry land. Thanks, God. So Jonah, I have to imagine he's sitting on the dry land, God just gave him, but I had to imagine he had to go back into the sea for a minute. You know what I'm saying? I cannot walk to Nineveh like this. But what I think is cool about that is no matter the predicaments we get ourselves into, guess what? God will deliver you this morning. There's not a person in this room, not a person in this community, not a person in this world that can ever run far enough away from God that He will not say, I will deliver you. Now, we learn from Jonah that deliverance can be a little sticky at times. Amen? But again, as I said last week, there were only two options. I'm glad he went with that option. Amen? This morning, are you living in despair? The thing about it is, again, we learned in Sunday school, we know the Father's business, amen? Jonah knew what God wanted him to do. If we know and we're not doing it, maybe we need to pray for that deliverance today. Now here's the thing. I can pray for you. The person sitting next to you can pray for you. We can encourage you. Amen. You know the only one who can make the decision though? you. You have to make it. You have to do it. So that's my challenge to you today. I don't care if you're the youngest person in the room, and I can look at him. Be real careful on the next one, but I don't care if you're the oldest guy in the room. I could probably see him if I wanted to. Okay? Doesn't matter. It applies both ways. If you made a vow to God and you're not in it, you're in despair. And if you're in despair this morning and you desire deliverance, you have got to make the move. Nobody else can do it for you but you. What I say to that is this: God is a great God. He could reach down here and write that if he wanted to. Sometimes I wish he would. Amen. Your choice today. I'm going to ask the folks that sing to come up here on the stage this morning. We're going to have a time of invitation again. Now listen, I want to reiterate this. And there have been some Sundays we have not done invitation. There are some Sundays that we will. But I'm going to tell you right now, I am not going to stand down here for 15 minutes and you guys look at your feet. I'm not going to do it. If the Holy Spirit's not moving, we're going to cut it off. I'll point back there to guys. I believe if you need to move, if you need to pray at this altar, if you need to pray with me, if you're sincere and authentic about it, you're going to move. You hear me? There's no denying it. You say, well, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. Well, if you're embarrassed or ashamed about it, you're not serious about it to begin with, okay? That's just from my loving heart to yours this morning, okay? So as we stand this morning, stand together with me this morning, we're going to have a time of invitation. But I'm not going to draw it out. If you need to rededicate, if you need to renew those vows, if you're in despair this morning, there's an altar here. I'd be happy to pray with you. But this morning, as we sing, you move. Don't hush the Holy Spirit out as we sing.